We'll get through all 19 verses. But in Daniel chapter 9, it's Daniel's prayer. And in the men's Saturday breakfast, the prayer breakfast and Bible study, they dealt quite extensively with Daniel as a man of prayer. And so hopefully, man, we're taking some of these things to heart. And what we've been doing in Daniel is to look at some of the significant highlights of the book of Daniel without getting into each and every verse and every chapter. And tonight's message, along with next Sunday's, the Lord willing, will be simply Daniel's Prayer Part 1 and Daniel's Prayer Part 2. But we read in Daniel chapter 9, beginning verse 1, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood the books, the number of the years, whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God, to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God, and made my confession, and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from the precepts, from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the land, people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day, to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and unto all Israel that are near and far, that are far off through all the countries, whither thou hast driven them because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants and his prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. Well, you kind of listen to that prayer a little bit this evening, and it kind of makes, dear Lord, forgive me for saying what I just said, and then we just kind of move on. we need to deal with some aspects of prayer in our heart in light of sin and the holiness of God. And I think we'll pick out some things from here tonight in this first part. In the second part, we'll deal a little bit more fully with some of the aspects of it here. But what we have is a classic example of a purposeful and meaningful prayer. There are a number of areas in the Bible record where we can glean helps and direction in our prayer life if we are interested and understand the importance and the value. And in Daniel chapter 9, we have an example of how to come before the Lord our God seeking forgiveness. Now, I don't see anywhere in Daniel's prayer where he was making excuses. Man, he was just laying his heart on the altar. What we learn is that mere words spoken don't always mean that we are sincere in what we say or what we are confessing. As parents, we have seen our children acting poorly towards one another, maybe siblings, brothers and sisters, or brothers and sisters acting one toward another. They may even actually get a little bit physical, biting or hitting or smacking or taking something away from them, as children do. And I don't think any of us have had children who haven't probably been guilty of some of that along the way, or maybe even in our own lifetimes, quite guilty of those things there. But as parents, we have seen our children acting poorly. And we typically reprimand them verbally, don't we? We reprimand them. Then we insist that they say that they are sorry to the one that they have injured or that they were being mean to. You tell your brother you're sorry. I told you to tell your brother to tell him you're sorry. And they may get the picture and say, I'm sorry. And give you one of those little looks, right? Amen. I'm sorry. Can I tell you something, Mom and Dad? You really think they meant that? Not in the least little bit. And so I'm still amazed at why parents would even do that. Tell your brother or your sister that you're sorry. Or tell the neighbor boy that you're sorry. Do they need to say it? Yes. Do they need to know how to say it? Yes. Do they need to understand what's involved in asking for forgiveness? Absolutely. Those are teachable moments that we are oftentimes so busy that we don't take the time to take them aside and explain to them why it's important that they do this and the means in which they say it. Because sometimes they're stubborn. They say, I'm not going to say it. And sometimes as parents, we back off and say, well, they're not going to say it. And okay, well, I'll deal with it later. No, you need to deal with it right then and there. So reluctantly, they hem and they haw before saying sorry, or they simply have learned to neutralize you, the parent, by quickly saying, well, I'm sorry. Hopefully that's going to pacify mom and dad. They'll be about their business and so on. But now here's the problem. Did you see any genuine signs or indications of sorrow or evidences of contriteness from them over what they did? Now, they may have done the hitting and the smacking, and maybe the other one stole the toy, and the other person feels justified and whatever. They're like many of us oftentimes in our lives. We're always trying to find a means of diminishing our responsibility or our accountability in an act by saying, well, it was really their fault. They started it, or he took my toy, and so I hit them, or I bit them, or whatever it is that they did. So the problem is, did you see any genuine signs of sorrow or evidences of contriteness from them? And usually the answer is what? No. Not at all. Not in that quick, hasty response of, I'm sorry. You know what? Sometimes as adults, we can offend somebody, can we not? They may have caught us at a bad moment in our lives. Not that that's an excuse. But we make mistakes. And sometimes we say things in the heat of the moment that we wish we had not said. And just coming along and saying, well, I'm sorry for what I said, doesn't always carry the weight of the day. True, they said it and are almost ready to bolt out and go play. As if it was no big deal. What I did was no big deal. And whenever we transgress or we sin against someone or the Lord, folks, it's a big deal. It is a big deal. True repentance and contriteness is a result of understanding the degree and the depth that we have lashed out with and hurt someone else and the ugliness of our heart in doing so. We can't say, well, that was the beauty of the Lord at work in my heart to lash out at you like that and to verbally say this or to physically do this. It's a revelation of the ugliness of our heart in the heat of the moment. We will never reach this place in our personal lives until we learn and appreciate the pain of sin that it brings to God and even the disgrace that it brings to ourselves. Until we get a handle on God's perspective. And I believe we see some of that here in Psalms chapter 34 and verse 18. We'll be back here eventually. But go backwards to the book of Psalms. In Psalms 34:18, and this is important. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a miserable heart. God just loves being around people who have mean, nasty, and cantankerous. No. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Listen, if you really want to get God's attention, then when you transgress against God or you demean and hurt someone else in the heat of the moment, display a sincere broken heart in contriteness, and you get God's attention really.